glad that you guys are here tonight. Let's take that piece of paper out, and as we do that, I'll kind of highlight some things. Maybe I'll backtrack just for a minute, because someone did tell me some other things that I think can be helpful, so let me pull it back. I think I can pull it back. And this will kind of be just a real fast review, and then we'll get to what we were going to do. So yesterday, as we're walking through this passage, this piece of paper, this workshop we're doing, and if you don't have one of those papers, they're right when you come in, so that's where they are back there. But as you think through this, we talk about a quiet place, we're talking about a quiet time, picking a time, and then we're even talking about a plan, having a plan. Again, if you fail to plan, you might as well plan to fail. So this is what we're talking about, our personal time with God. And then from there, yesterday, we kind of gave you some ideas. Let me just kind of say these and then ask a real quick question for some of you to maybe get some input there. But the examples I gave were things like this. As you're reading the scriptures, that you would read one psalm and a proverb daily, kind of explained what that meant, and kind of went through some of the ideas even with that. And then the second thing we talked about was to read through the New Testament to work through the New Testament. I even challenge some of you who haven't not read through the New Testament, maybe ever, devotionally, or you haven't in a long time, to, hey, this would be a good one to do, and encourage you that way. And then also to read through the Bible even in a year, I think that's also a super helpful thing, but I always encourage people to do it in like that one-year approach where you have kind of it split up a little bit, Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs. That's a great way. So I kind of gave you some hints on even that. And then we talked about some studies to do, even a book study, a book of the scripture, and maybe even yesterday, talking through Philippians for a moment, maybe that whet some of your appetite towards Philippians, and you think, you know, maybe I'll do that, or gone beyond that, a topic study. And I kind of tried to demonstrate that a little bit last night in the message even, because as we did last night's message was clearly on a topic, and we kind of hit one sin and kind of bore in on it. It wasn't exhaustive fully, but it was. Hopefully helpful in that as you begin to kind of see it unfold in Scripture and how to actually get the cure for the dealing with anger. And so, and then the next thing we talked about is a biography of God. This is a great study personally in your walk with God, where you really go to the Scriptures and you're asking God, who are you? And you're seeking to answer that question, and you're praying over who He is. And I think of the Psalms are so amazing with this. And then you even think of the Psalm that we all, in a sense, know. But consider that for a moment. The Lord is my shepherd. How does He shepherd you? And then you think about it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What does that mean? Yeah, he satisfies you because you're not in want of anything. So there's a satisfaction that's found in Him. He leads me. He guides me. I mean, no matter what realm within life, if you're His child, again, He won't let you go. Even in your sin, He pursues you. And so I love that passage of Scripture of that. That is true only for real believers. When you think about a lost person, I was at one point, I'm at my grandmother's funeral and I was doing like the graveside, and this is years ago, and at some point I just highlighted to the fact of the people listening, I said, I want to read this psalm to you, it was Psalm 23, but I want you to know this psalm is not for everyone. This psalm is for those who are in Christ, those who are true believers. Because for if you are not saved, actually you're not really the friend of God, you're actually the enemy of God, which can be a shocker to some people, as they begin to see that even scripturally, but actually that's how you will end up coming to know the Lord, by seeing your sinfulness and your condition. But as you think about that, that's a good one. And then we talk about tools, a chronological Bible, that could be a good tool, a study Bible, so helpful, even parallel Bible. Again, some of you guys got so used to that. It's interesting, whatever translation it may be, good expositors of the past would always take what was available to them, even with the English translations as English speakers, because they would do that on purpose to gain the synonyms, to gain a better understanding of the text. And so that's helpful. I wish everyone read Greek and Hebrew, but they don't do that. And so for you, you are so blessed within the English-speaking world to have so many translations. Now, there are bad translations that are out there, But the reality is there's different styles of even translation. Some of them are very readable kind of. We call it dynamic equivalent. And that means it's very much a flow within it as they would translate versus what we would call a formal equivalent, which would be very word for word, which is choppy. And if you really translate things specifically as is, sometimes what you do is you have word order issues, you have issues of it's just strict and you kind of feel it choppy. And so you always want as literal as possible, for sure. So I'm just telling you that. It's just helpful to have some of that and even go through some little bit of study of some of those things. There's software, and we talked about some of that, how you could actually go online even. There's eSort, or there's Blue Letter Bible. There's Logos, as I kind of described that. And then I kind of gave these apps, and I found out about another app. And so this is kind of where I kind of finished yesterday, and we concluded. But my question to you is, with some of these tools or helps or apps or something like that, because I know I'm missing one on here, and which one is it?
The Gideon's app.
Yeah, the Gideon's app. And so I just kind of got familiar with that. So I haven't spent time really unfolding that yet to kind of check it out. It's really interesting. There's a lot of really beneficial things. You have even like scripture memory apps and those kind of things as well. And so just want you to know that those are out there. Yeah, and so we'll kind of check that out too. And then I wanted to put you on this one called DPAC, and this is where we are tonight, and we'll kind of go through this one real fast. But this is one I think is so helpful. So this is kind of where we, are supposed to start right now tonight, okay? But I've reviewed for some of you. Let me pray, and then we've got like 15 minutes to go through this pretty fast, okay? So let's do it. Lord, thank you again for all that you do, your kindness, your love, your mercy. God, I pray tonight that we would once again be reminded of your grace and truth as we look into the Word, as we are challenged through singing, that's Word-centered songs, and also through the preaching specifically. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Even bless now, as I think of the children, I think of them meeting right now for a moment, I think of the teens. Please, God, bless Micah as he would preach. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we look at this tonight, what I want to do is I want to talk about this idea of DPAC. Did I just say, okay, so here we go. This is DPAC. I think I came to the end of that, and it just says DPAC, and you're like, what in the world is DPAC, And so the idea here is God's packed it into the scriptures, and you need to DPAC it. You need to kind of unpack it. I'm using DPAC as kind of like letters, as the acronym. The idea is even as we look at this, let me show you this really what I'm talking about. D stands for doctrine. If you were to look for certain things in Scripture, highlight certain things as you read the Bible, one thing that you should clearly be looking for and to understand is doctrine. If you're not grounded in doctrine and truth, what happens when someone shows up at your door and they're dressed kind of nice with a little tag and they're an elder of some sort like this, and they're like, come to my church. We go to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And you go, oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, that's really good. I mean, I love Jesus, and we are in the latter days. And, and according to Scripture, we're saints. Man, we must be brothers and sisters in Christ. And you're like, not if you study the doctrine. It's clearly different. There's a ton of doctrinal problems. Yeah, you're not going to be a god of your own planet in heaven. Nowhere Scripture does it teach you that. So as you think about doctrine, though, you need doctrine. But the truth is, if you don't understand doctrine, and you even understand the idea of even maybe eternal security, what happens when a believer sins? And you understand that. So you might, if you understand justification and sanctification, now all of a sudden you've sinned, and you think, I got to get saved all over again. Maybe the idea for you is you got to get born again and again and again and again and again. And no, it doesn't work that way. But that's why doctrine is so important to look at, to see, to understand. So doctrine is a truth to believe, a truth that's taught in the Scriptures. E is an example to follow or avoid. When I think about that, I stated last night the idea of Joshua and Achan. I stated in that passage in Joshua 7, you have two people. They're examples. One would be one you would want to follow. Joshua really desires to kick out sin and he wants to see God work. He can't believe why this didn't happen. He didn't pursue the Lord, really asking questions in a sense of Ai, and they lose the battle and that kind of stuff. And he's learning in that sense. But you have Achan, who seeks to cover over his sin. He seeks to hide in his sin. And there's an element of following or avoiding. You'll find examples in narrative reading. In other words, when it's reading that's like, you know, about stories, and you'll find that. Even Christ, I mean, here he is, the disciples are arguing in the upper room. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, and they're arguing. Remember what they're arguing about? Who's going to be the greatest? That's not the first time they've argued about that. And so when you have this, you know, and then Jesus sees this, he knows that no one has even thought about this, and it's really for a menial task of a slave, you could say. And what does he do? He then girds himself, and he begins to wash their feet to give them an example. He even says, if you do these things, you'll actually be happy, he's telling them. And he encourages them to go do that. I mean, you consider the examples in Scripture both positive and negative. And then another one would be promise. It's a promise to claim. Can you think of any Bible promises? Can anyone name for me a Bible promise? Does anyone know one? Comes to your mind? There's a lot of different kinds of promises. Yes, ma'am?
If you ask for wisdom, he'll be given without reproach.
Yes, amen. James 1. You think of another promise? Yeah, that's oh man. You start studying that one out too, and you have all of these, you know, in English, if we use like a double negative, you know, it turns it into a positive. But there's like all these negatives, and in Greek, or even within Hebrew, Greek is like the idea is like the more negatives, the more emphasis. So it's like, I will never ever leave you, nor ever forsake you. I mean, there's an element of just so many within that. That's really an interesting thing. I kind of gave one last night. I mean, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord doesn't maybe be saved, hopefully. But you shall be saved. But it also describes what that means to call upon his name, actually, in Romans 10, verse 9. So as you consider that, here's another one, an attribute. This is a description of who God is. We kind of talked about that with that biography of God, but it's an attribute. It's something to think about, to dwell upon. Who is God? What's the Scripture teaching me about him as I read it today? So these are some things. Then there's a command to obey. Maybe God's telling you don't do something, or maybe God's telling you to do something. I think last time I was here, I preached to a camera. But when I preached to the camera, I think at one point in time, I'm pretty sure I preached a message that dealt with how to be filled with the Spirit, what the Scripture says about being filled with the Spirit. And so often we kind of look at the, you know, hey, I'm not doing this, and we kind of look at all the things that we're supposedly not doing, you know, but we forget that here's this command clearly given to believers that you are supposed to be constantly, moment by moment, controlled by the Spirit of God. You're commanded to do this. But yet even in that command, we can't naturally do and fulfill that command in our own strength. And so therefore, it's kind of interesting because it's passive. And so therefore, it's kind of, whoa, we have to rely upon the Spirit and we have to submit to him that we would be controlled. So you have positive commands, you have negative commands in Scripture, but these should be things that we examine our hearts and we say, are we obeying these things? Now, can I also remind you, there are sometimes things in Scriptures that are maybe commands that are not meant for you. When I think of one of those, is like, you know, I think about, again, if you have a bad hermeneutic, which is a bad study, and that'll throw you, you'll go way off the deep end. But I think about people, you know, sometimes, you know, we take passages like, you know, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, I'll hear from heaven. That's great stuff. And then in the end, what he'll do? He'll heal your land. That actually is given to the Jews. That has nothing to do with America. We're like, now the principle is there. Like that could be, sure, if we humble ourselves, but that's not a promise that God will, he'll fix the whole land of America because of that. And although how often have we taken that and claimed it for ourselves, I think, again, the truth is when we do deal with sin and we do seek to get things right, sure, there's a blessing of God, but that land promise is to Israel, their land. So, interestingly enough, okay? Keep going, though. What are some steps? Well, as you think about the steps of EPEC, here's what I want to do for the next just couple of moments, walk through this in a simple way. Because in one sense, as you think about reading the Scripture, number one, before you ever do. Now, if you're not checking this, this is on the other side of that page, okay? I don't know if I even told you to turn that page over, but I think you're figuring it out, okay? But number one, pray. Pray. And actually ask God to help you understand what you're reading. How guilty are we sometimes when we go to the scriptures and we just kind of open it up and kind of read? And I say guilty because, wait a second, the psalmist prayed prayers like this. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of your law. Lord, help me to see it. And many of you, you've experienced this, especially as believers. What will happen? You're reading something, and you've read that passage maybe many times in your life, and then all of a sudden, it's like that light bulb had just came on to you, and you're going, oh, I've never seen that before. I've read that. It's been there the whole time. I've missed it. What's happening? It's called illumination, where God has given you sight to see and understanding there, and how encouraging that is in your own spiritual life, isn't it? But the psalmist was praying, open my eyes. I mean, bend my heart towards your commands, God. I think of satisfy me with you and you alone. Don't satisfy me even with good things like my family or you know, my job or whatever it may be, but satisfy me ultimately, God, with you. And you start praying that, or you start confessing and forsaking sin before you ever read the scriptures, it'll change the way you read the scriptures. And so there's an element of, number one, humbling ourselves before God and asking him for help, asking him to work in our hearts. There are prayers, sometimes where I'll pray stuff like this even. God, your word is so holy, and I'm not. Will you please help me and give me insight? I know positionally I'm holy, but practically I'm not. Help me. That alone can transform your Bible reading. Number two, read the planned passage. Now, what I'm trying to get is trying to encourage you to not read the Bible randomly, because when you start reading the Bible randomly, you can kind of get yourself in trouble. You know, it's the guy, you've heard the joke where the guy kind of, he says, I'm going to do whatever God's will is for my life. He closes his eyes and drops his Bible open, and then he points, and then he looks down to see what it says, because he's going to do whatever it says. And so he reads and says, and Judas went forth and hung himself. And he's like, oh, you know, so he's like, I'll try that again. Drops it open and points somewhere else, and it says, go and do thyself likewise. You know, you know, he's like, okay. And that's a joke, okay? But the idea would be you read the scriptures, and if you're just kind of pointing and reading, you can get something from it, sure, but the likelihood of you getting something out of context is very likely. So therefore, have a plan. Work through a book. That's why Pastor works through expositionally, and he's working through the, he preached through Acts, you know, he's working through stuff. That's so helpful to get the big picture and see what's going on. If not, again, you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. I tell people I can twist scripture and make it say anything I want to say. But the question is, what does it say? And as a true Bible preacher, we gotta figure that out and then preach that. It's not our opinion. It's not our thought. It's this. So you have that idea of the read the planned passage. Number three, underline the verse in the scripture that you think has. I mean, if you find a doctrine, underline it. If you find a promise, underline it. And don't be, you know, maybe some of you are like, but Jeremy, when I was growing up, my mommy told me not to highlight in my, or under, well, no, you were little, you're not. You can underline and you can highlight and you can draw things in a sense if you need to, like arrows and pointing things if you need. I mean, it's amazing how the scriptures can be so helpful when we highlight it up and mark it up. Then put the letter beside it. What if you then found that command, and so now you've underlined it, now you put a little C there, that can be a help to you, and you're asking yourself, am I obeying that command? And you're praying maybe even through that command as you're considering what you've just connected with. And I would say this, here's two things. When you finish reading, you should answer two questions. Like as you work through, you're praying, and you're working through the scripture, you pray before, you're going to pray during, you'll pray after. That's how we talk to God, but God's speaking to us through this word, and so we want to understand it. So one question you should ask is, what did I just read? What did I learn? And that's an information question. And if I were to ask you in the last 24 hours, have you read your Bible? Hopefully you'd say yes. And I would say, okay, well then what did you read about? That's just simply information. Now I will tell you, if you read your Bible for information only, you will walk away arrogant and proud. I know that sounds weird that you read your Bible and you come away proud, but actually if you are not doing this of application, then you will walk away arrogant and proud because knowledge puffeth up and you go around, let me tell you what I know about the Bible. And no one likes that, no one wants to hear that. The truth is we want to see God transform us. And he does this as we take heed according to his word. We seek to observe all that is written therein. We seek to follow what the scripture teaches us and apply it to our lives. So how does God want me to live now because of what I just read, what I just learned? That's application. This is where God changes you. And then number six is just simply spend some real time in prayer. So you begin with prayer, asking God for help. You don't just randomly choose, but you work through the scriptures. And as you're working through and reading the scriptures and seeking the context, you're finding these amazing nuggets there. There are many more things you could search out, but I'm giving you kind of the core as we consider that. As you're really seeking to know who God is and what he's done, his commands and his promises, his attributes, his examples, the doctrines, and you're just seeking to apply it to your life. As you do, and you conclude in prayer, some of you see a little acrostic that I put on the paper there, and it's the acrostic for praying. It's P-R-A-Y, which is praise, repent, ask, yield. Some of you have seen the other ones, acts, you know, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, kind of some little helpful kind of little tools within that. So as you think through that, I want to ask this question as we kind of come to tonight's conclusion. We got one more night. But what's your plan? Like, what is your plan personally in reading the scriptures? And did you notice all the things I was trying to encourage you to do was to read the scriptures? I have no vendetta against the daily bread or something like that, you know. We don't have any fight going on in a sense. But I would also say this, you know, there's an element where, you know, some of you may have gotten the habit of kind of you read a little phrase of a verse and then you read the paragraph about it. You don't really look at the verse maybe and you walk away and it's like having some popcorn for that morning and you're sustaining yourself on that. And I want to challenge you that you would actually go into the scriptures. The best devotional books are the ones based on scripture. And my kind of encouragement is like, what if you just go to the source? I don't mind having devotional books at times, stuff like that, but I'm just going, man, go back to the source. That's where the power is. Go there and see what God will do. So consider that plan. If you haven't written it down on your paper, consider that. And we'll conclude for tonight, and we'll kind of conclude everything tomorrow for that pre-service. Thank you guys for being here for this time. Let's pray. Father, I know we're getting ready to start soon this service, and I just pray that you would be glorified and honored in the service. I thank you for your love and goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.